If I have not met you, my name is Paul. My wife Katie and I also serve on our eldership team here at Oceanside Church, and it is a wonderful community. We love this place, and we love this city. Nanaimo's been home for me for a very long time. I have the privilege of ministering this morning, and what a glorious day it is. Today, we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Believe it or not, we are not celebrating hot cross buns. We are not celebrating the Easter bunny, and we are not celebrating any other thing or any other person that man could scheme up to detract from today. Today, we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? The resurrection of Jesus is by far the most significant thing that happened in history. There is nothing more significant than this moment, the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus changed the course of history, and it changed the course of humanity. I want to start, and I just want to read it. Let's look at some scripture. Matthew 28, verse 1. It says, after the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. I love that picture. This angel's just chilling, sitting on this rock. It's done. And it says that his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. We can get excited. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. It goes on, and we know that the women hurry away, and then Jesus meets them, and they're just blown away, and they fall at his feet, and they're just worshiping. And he says, do not be afraid, but go and tell the others. He has risen. He has risen. I love what it says in Luke 24 in the account. It says, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is alive. The resurrection of Jesus is so significant. We know as we read through the Bible and you read the account of Jesus and what happens from here, Jesus goes and he reveals himself to the disciples. Many come to see him. And then he ascends to heaven. And the church is now empowered with this incredible revelation that Jesus is not dead, that he is alive, and that he has ascended to heaven. And the word says that he is interceding for us. With that good news, the gospel spread like wildfire. And of course, the Roman Empire wasn't very happy about it. And this resurrection shook the empire, and they did everything they could to stop this message. But there was no stopping this message. There was no stopping this message. The testimony of Jesus is powerful. You know, opposition came to the church. Opposition came and persecution came to the church right in the early days. The disciples that had this revelation, it says that 10 of them were martyred for their belief in the resurrection of Jesus. 10 of them. One of them died from old age. He was the lucky one. The other one betrayed Jesus. That was Judas. But the other 10 were martyred for their faith. Peter was crucified upside down because he refused to be crucified the same way that Jesus was. It's believed that Andrew suffered the same way, who was Peter's brother. James was executed by the sword. Thomas was stabbed by spears, and the list goes on. You know, people don't die for a lie. People don't die for a good idea. But people might give their life for life-changing truth. People might give their life for life-changing truth. And the disciples had life-changing truth. They had the truth. of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. They had the truth that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was who he said he was. And this truth is powerful. The resurrection of Jesus brought us freedom from death. The resurrection of Jesus brought us freedom from death. If you want to know the title for this morning, it's this, that there is freedom from death. We've been going through a loose theme, freedom from. On Friday, we did freedom from sin, that Jesus took our sin to the cross. Today, we're going to look at freedom from death. So we're going to start with death. No one wants to talk about dying. It's something we all kind of pretend that, you know, we're going to live forever, right? Don't talk about dying. Don't talk about death. You know, death has always been humanity's victor. Always. And when sin entered the world, death came with it. Romans 5:12 says this, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that was Adam, and death came through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. So death is our trajectory, right? Ecclesiastes 3:2 says, there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. Moses lived 120 years, but he died. Methuselah lived 969 years, but he died. Muhammad lived 62 years, but he died. Gautama Buddha lived 80 years, but he died. Joseph Smith was believed to have lived 38 years, but he died. The trajectory for every one of us is actually death. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we've accomplished. It doesn't matter how much wealth we've accumulated. Nothing changes our trajectory. Humanity has tried for centuries, every tribe, nation, and tongue, to figure out how to prolong life. Billions of dollars is spent on this. It's big industry. How can we live longer? But the reality is that death is coming for us all. Psalm 144:4 says, man is but a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. I have lots of questions this morning, but the most significant question I have for you is this. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet your maker? The star-breathing God, the one that created the heavens and the earth, the one that knows you by name. He knows everything you've done, everything you've said, everything you've thought. Are you ready to stand before him? You see, after death, there is something. After death, there's judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says this, and just as is it appointed man to die once, and after that comes judgment. It means that this life is preparation for another life. That we're going to stand before this awesome and mighty God. You know, Job in Job 14:14 asks this question, if a man dies, shall he live again? The Bible tells us that the answer to that is a resounding yes. It's yes. If man dies, shall he live again? Yes. There is life after death. We were created for more than just our mortal lives here on earth. Hallelujah. I hope that's good news for you, because this life is but a breath. You know, though our bodies die, the Bible teaches us that our spirit lives on. And where we spend eternity matters, because it's forever. It matters. And I believe that it's instinctive for people to believe in life after death. It's instinctive. You can go anywhere in the world. People believe that there's something. It's something in us, because it's the way God created us. He designed us for eternal life. But there's only one person in history who can speak about life after death. There's only one name, and his name is Jesus. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Why? because he bought and paid for it through death and resurrection. He bought and paid for it through death and resurrection. And I want to preach through three more questions this morning for us. Are you all right? I promise this is good news. I know it sounds heavy, but I'm telling you, eternity matters. So I'm going to preach like it matters, because where you go for the rest of your life matters. So through resurrection, right, we have freedom from death. So here's the questions. Why does resurrection matter? Why does resurrection matter? Because without Jesus, this life after death is hell. And we don't want to think about that. We don't want to talk about it. Heaven forbid, right? But I'm telling you, it matters. Hell is a real place. You see, our mortal bodies are carnal. They will die. They will fade. None of us are going to escape it. It doesn't matter what special cream you're using. It's going to wither and die. I'm sorry. You can spend all the money on it in the world. You're still going to look old when you get old. All right. But because of sin, trajectory for us is hell. The word says that it separates us. Hell is eternal separation from God. And I don't have time to unpack the depths of the doctrine of hell, but I want to say this, that hell was never made for humanity. Hell was not made for you and I. Hell was made for the devil and the fallen angels. And you can read about that in Genesis. It was not made for us. So if we end up there, we did it of our own free will and our own choice. Jesus did everything so that we could avoid that place. He even died on the cross and rose again for us. He sent his son. God sent his son so that we could overcome and not end up in hell for eternity. So why does the resurrection matter? Because it validates that Jesus was who he said he was. Resurrection validates everything that Jesus said, that he was God in the flesh. If Jesus had not risen from the grave, history would have dismissed him as a lunatic and a liar. But he rose again. He rose again. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, "And if Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." The Christian faith would actually have no value. There would be no point in coming together. We would have nothing to celebrate. There would have been no impact. I wonder if there would be a nation, Canada. We were founded on Christian beliefs. I wonder. The trajectory of humanity changed because of resurrection. By rising on the third day, Jesus conquered death. And now we have freedom from death. He broke the power of death. This is amazing. Romans 6:9 says, "We know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Death could not hold him." We sing, death could not keep him. Death no longer had anything on him. Amen? The word says that as he ascended, that now he is seated in heavenly realms. And the word says that Jesus is interceding for you and I. This God that overcame death is now thinking about us. He's interceding for us. He didn't just go, "Oh, I conquered death. I'm out of here, guys. Cheers. Good luck." No. The heart of the Father is towards us. And he's interceding for you and I. The resurrection made a way for us. The word teaches us in Romans that the wages of sin is death, that we all fall short, that we're all on that trajectory. But it says the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. What a gift! Jesus bought our freedom from death. What a gift. I like gifts. It says death The death he died to sin once and for all. I want you to hear this morning that that means that he died for your past sins, the current sins that you're living in right now, and the mistakes that are coming in your future. Past, present, future, bought and paid for on the cross. Done. And there's nothing you can do about it except choose and receive what he did for you and I. That's the power of the cross. We are saved not by our own works, not by anything we could do in our own strength or ability, but simply by receiving what Jesus did for us. No one else could do this, friends. No one else could do this, only Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, "There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved." You're not excited enough. You're just not. There is no other name. The name of Jesus is powerful. In all of history, there's no other name like his. There will be no other name like his. From the beginning of time, God's plan for humanity was redemption, and it came through Jesus Christ, death and resurrection. We don't have to sit here and bite our nails wondering what's going to happen. The outcome was determined when he rose from the grave. Jesus did it. The next question for us, so what does it mean for us today? What does it mean for you and I? It means that the resurrection power for us has the power to change the trajectory of your life today through eternity. The power of resurrection has the ability to change the trajectory of your life starting right now. In John 11:25-26, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lived by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? Through faith in Jesus, I see two things. One, we have access to eternal life. That means eternity, we spend with God, not separated from God, in heaven, not in hell. We spend in his glorious presence. If you think it's awesome to be in this room worshiping God and you feel the presence of God as you do it, that is eternity. My friends, in his presence, worshiping the living God. This is but a taste of what's to come. A taste. There will be no pain, no suffering, no sorrow in heaven. That's our future. We have access by faith. What's the other thing? We have access to new life. And it starts right now. We don't just exist waiting for this eternity to come. New life starts right now. The life we now live, we get to live for him. The resurrection brings us new life in Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." That means that our old lives before Jesus die. We can actually die early. We need to die to self. The word says when we come to Jesus, our old life dies and is left behind. Our old self, our old man that cannot save us, that cannot redeem us, that is wrestling with the sinful reality that is our life. The word says when we come to Jesus, we lay it at the foot of the cross and we die like Jesus died. But Jesus raises us up as a new creation to live a new life starting now. So today in our lives, what does that mean to live this new life? It means that we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear death. And better than that too, is that we don't have to fear at all. I think most fear actually stems from a fear of death. I love it. God is love and he's perfect love. And the word says that perfect love will cast out all fear. That God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear doesn't come from God. If you have fear, you can leave it at the cross. Because God hasn't given it to you. It's not from him. We have freedom from fear because of the cross. So what do we get to do? Instead, we have hope. Instead, we have purpose. Instead, we get to live for him. That means we get to live without fear. When you live without fear, you live different. You act different. Life is different. Romans 8:11 says that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead comes to live in us. Not only do we get new life, but we get new power. The same power, the dunamis, mighty power of God. It's the same word that we get dynamite from. That power comes to reside in us when we choose Jesus as Lord and Savior. His spirit takes residence in us to empower us to live this new life. That means we don't even have to do it in our own strength. Amazing. We have access to new life, but it's a choice. Living for Jesus is a choice. Spending eternity in heaven is a choice. It's a choice because we have an incredible, gracious, and loving God that didn't create robots. He gave us free will with the ability to choose what he's done and to apply it to our lives. Jesus bought and paid for freedom from death. But we must believe this and we must receive this in order for it to be true for you and I. My last question. What are you going to do about it? Seems like a good question. What are you going to do about it? I've got three things I'm going to say around this, but before I do, I want to share a dream. Some of you have heard the dream that God gave me, and I'm going to share it again. Sometimes God speaks to us in dreams. I don't always dream. I was up in Prince George recently doing some ministry up there, and I woke up one morning and I was broken. I woke up just with a broken heart and my eyes couldn't stop watering. I don't know what that is. Some of you are more familiar with that. I don't wake up crying, guys. It's not me. That's not that. I woke up with a broken heart and my eyes would not stop. I was wrecked for the whole day. Some of you saw this. God gave me a dream. And in my dream, what I saw was people in a room very much like this. And everybody had a lanyard, one of these, with a name tag on it. And I looked closely in the dream, and the name on the name tag that people were wearing was Jesus. And I thought, oh yeah, that's cool. Yeah, the word says that he'll give us a new name in Revelations 2. It talks about that we will take on his name. Like, yeah, that's awesome. Why am I weeping? And then I looked in my dream and I saw a table like the table up front. And there was a whole bunch of name tags. And they had people's names on them. Not the name of Jesus. And something dropped in my spirit that people were missing. That there was people missing. And I felt God say, there's people missing from my kingdom. There's people that aren't wearing the name of Jesus. There's people that aren't going to spend eternity in heaven. I went, whoa, that's heavy. And then in my dream, it didn't end there. I looked and I saw the table and I saw that as people were leaving the doors, they were taking the name tag that was Jesus and they were taking it off. And they were placing it on the table and they were walking out. And I felt God say, people are leaving my name at the door. They're leaving my name at the door. What a dream. I was broken. Christians almost often say that God breaks our hearts for the lost. I experienced something of that. The only way I could describe it to you is almost like leaving where we are, going to another whole nation, but leaving one of your kids behind, leaving one of your small children behind. Man, the love that I have for my kids, I can't describe it. I can't describe it. Some of you have the privilege of having children. You know what I mean. But it was like that. There was an ache in my heart. There was an ache in my soul. It was like leaving a child behind. It's the love of a father that he was showing me for those that don't have his name. It was the love of a father that was watching people leave his name at the door. So what are we going to do about it? I felt God give me three simple things. I want to ask the worship team to come up front as I share these. So worship team, come on up. What's the first thing? What are we going to do about it? Choose Jesus. The first, the simplest thing I can tell you is to choose Jesus. Maybe that's you. Maybe Jesus isn't on your name tag. Maybe Jesus isn't your Lord and Savior yet. Today is the day to put him on the name tag. Today is the day to choose Jesus. I don't know what tomorrow brings. I know what our future looks like without him, and I know what our future looks like with him. The first thing we must do is choose Jesus. Put his name on the name tag. Friend, the love that God has for you is indescribable. I don't have enough words. The word says that it is this love that is unearned, it is unmerited, it has nothing to do with what you've done or what you can accomplish in your own strength. The love of God seeks you out. So if you are sitting here today wondering, does God see me? God sees you and he knows you and he loves you and he wants you to choose him. Choose Jesus. What else can we do? We can live for Jesus. Don't leave his name at the door. I feel like the challenge to me is when we leave on a Sunday, when we leave our Connect group, when we leave our home, when we go into our workplaces, when we go into the grocery stores, when we go into our lives, that we've left Jesus behind. Friend, the only hope the world has is Jesus. It's nothing else. It's not a good, comfortable life. It's not all the riches of the world. It's not the comfort. The goal of life is not to live your best life. The goal of life is to spend eternity with the creator of heaven and earth. That is it. So let's live for Jesus. God's called us to live for him. The word says, what does it gain a man if he gains the whole world? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Let's live for Jesus. God has purpose for each one of us. Do you know yours? Will you live for that purpose? Will you live for him? My good friends, Mike and Debbie Graves, have led this church, Oceanside Church. They led it for 25 years before transitioning. They talk about a death date and an end date and on a tombstone. And what is between the death date and the end date is a dash. What are you going to do? Your birth date and your death date. What are you going to do with your dash? What are you going to do with your dash? Will you live for him? Will you be known to have lived for him? Will you wear the name tag or will you hide it away or leave it at the door? This is a time for his church to live for him. What's the last thing that we can do? Share him. We can share him. The power of resurrection was meant for the world. The power of the resurrection was meant for the world. Yes, he gives it to you and I, first and foremost, because you're here. But he's given it to us as a gift to be shared. I like gifts, so do other people. There is nothing more significant than the gift of salvation. The Father's heart is broken for those that don't know him, for those that haven't chosen him. Will you share Jesus? How can we not reflect on the resurrection of Jesus and not want to share him with others? Will you be willing to risk to offend somebody? Will you be willing to make a fool of yourself for the sake of their eternity? The heart of the Father is asking because people are missing from his kingdom. In a moment, we're gonna worship and we're gonna celebrate resurrection with a couple of worship songs, and we're gonna exalt the name of Jesus like we do in heaven. But this morning, I wanna make opportunity for you to choose Jesus. I don't care if you come to church your whole life. If you know that his name is not on your name tag, if you know that Jesus has not been chosen as Lord of your life and Savior, you don't have to get everything right. You just have to choose Jesus. We come before him, acknowledge our sin. The word says we repent, which simply means ask forgiveness, go a different way, and choose him. I want to make opportunity for you. I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to put you on a microphone, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to celebrate you. We're going to celebrate you. Because the word says when one person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, that all heaven rejoices. How can we not? So I want to make opportunity right now. If you have not chosen Jesus, if you need to put Jesus on the name tag, I don't want you to be shy. I want you to come up. I want you to hear a bit of what heaven's going to do. And we're gonna rejoice and celebrate you for a moment. And we wanna come up front. I want you to come up front. We wanna pray with you. We wanna introduce you to this Jesus. And the rest of us, we'll wait for just a moment, allow these people to be prayed with. Reflect on what it was like when you came to Jesus. Think about the message for a moment. Let's just take this moment and give people opportunity. And then we'll stand and we'll go into worship. Can we do that? So if that's you, come. There's no time like the present. Come up front. Come and stand with me. Don't be shy. I really believe that there's people here that Jesus is not on your name tag and you have an invitation. So come. Don't be shy. I'm gonna wait. I don't care if it's awkward. I'm okay with awkward for a moment. This changes trajectory for eternity. This is eternity. I'm okay with awkward. If that's you, come up front. Come up front. Come on, celebrate these people. You know, the word says, all heaven rejoices. All of heaven. All of heaven rejoices when people choose Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's not enough to just believe in Jesus. The enemy believes in Jesus. We must choose him as Lord and Savior. Can I have a couple people come and pray with these people? If you still need to come up front, come up front. We've got some of our leadership team that want to introduce you to Jesus. Where you're standing, stay standing. Just reflect on what Jesus did for you with death and resurrection. Just reflect, stay where you are. God's speaking to you. We'll go up. We'll worship in a moment. Just meet with your Heavenly Father. He loves you dearly. precious moment. What a precious moment. Trust God's speaking to you today. I'm quite sure that there's others that are still here that know you need to be up here. So, if that's you, anytime, God's not rushed. You want to come up during the worship? You want to come up at the end of the service? Come up. We want to pray with you. We want to introduce you to Jesus. We have a ministry team here. If you want prayer for something else, whatever it is, we'd love to stand with you and pray. That's what community is. That's why God brings us together, to stand with each other. Prayer is powerful. God wants to meet you right where you are.